Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to The Resource. This is your host, Todd Social. And today is an awesome, awesome day because I'm here with some great guests. And we're actually here to talk about a new product, a new service, a new way of thinking that's going to be going out into the market here shortly. And those guests are the owners and founders of Stay Seated, as well as some of the team members that's working with me as far as the development of that. So thank you guys for coming in today. And if you're ready, just announce yourself really quick so people know who you are, and then we'll get started right away.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is Dominic Saragalia with Stay Seated.
This is Johnny Hunt with Stay Seated.
This is DLE Alexander, CEO of Black Shield Sentinel Cybersecurity.
My name is Terry Cargow, one of the founders of Scout Team Entertainment.
Okay. So you guys may be wondering why everyone is here, including the owners, because the show, The Resource, talks about, you know, the pathway for development, pitfalls, trials, challenges, opportunities, as well as the end result. So in discussing today, we're going to be talking about Stay Seated and the anatomy of an app, through all the stages of it, through all the resources of it, and as well as some of the things that will be happening currently and coming up in the near future. So first, I'm going to start with you, Dominic, because you are the actual creative mind behind this. So how about you tell the audience a little bit about how Stay Seated for you kind of matriculated, kind of your thought process, where it all came from. I know you kind of had other apps that you were kind of developing too. So why don't you let the audience know a little bit about that?
Yeah. So a couple of years ago, I was sitting at a baseball game and thinking to myself with my sister with me, how can I get the things I actually want without having to miss a game, you know, miss a pitch? Started thinking about, you know, about the price of tickets that I paid for. Started thinking about exactly what essentially each pitch cost me. Ended up realizing that, you know, waiting in line for 20 minutes to go get something that also costs, you know, 10, 20 bucks when it's all said and done would really cost me somewhere around like $40 to $50 if you look at a per pitch kind of price point there. So I figured out a way to allow someone to stay seated, allow them to order the food that they want, the drinks that they want, and be delivered to them just via an app.
And his partner, Johnny Hunt, why don't you let us know a little bit about your background as well as what brought you to Stay Seated as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So my background is in business. I currently do medical sales, and I supply plates, screws, and biologics to orthopedic neurosurgeons. We help cover the cases. We're in the operating room to be there for their support. So that's what I do currently, full-time. So on to Dom, a great guy. I met him a while back through some mutual friends, and we kind of were chatting, and before the inception of Stay Seated was brought to my knowledge, Don was kind of asking about the medical field, and I was going to hopefully try to help him get a job out in Phoenix, and through our conversations and questions and answers, Dom approached me with the idea of Stay Seated, and he began to tell me about it, and before he could even finish the conversation, I said, yep, sign me up. How can I be impactful? What can we do? I want to be your full-fledged partner in this. And we came together and took on a little bit different roles. Dom does more of like the developmental roles, and I came in as more as negotiations, contracts, and helped fund the operation that we're doing and the venture with Todd and the Biltmore Group. So it's kind of how we orchestrated this baby.
So that's actually really good information, because a lot of the areas that we're going to discuss today is going to involve not just the evolution of the application, but kind of a lot of the things that we have discussed kind of in meetings and things about what you guys want to do, which is why the other guests are here today too, because obviously, as the world is evolving, things are evolving. So security is a number one and important towards, securing data. Matter of fact, I think there was a very big data breach today.
It's been a good morning. It's been a very fun morning.
No, you shouldn't say that. That's not good. Terry's here because Terry focuses on event planning, and it's pretty key. And I think for the audience, what you want to know is that even though you might have an idea and you might have something sound that you really want to do, you have to look at the full body of it. You know, it's very easy to kind of get married to one particular aspect of something, whether it's an app, a website, or just the idea of it. But then you have to build the legs around it. And the legs, you know, have to do with things that maybe are not top of mind in the beginning, but become top of mind, you know, whether it's monetization or just, you know, overall strategy. So I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Dominic, but Stay Seated, you know, your original goal was just basically to kind of go into stadiums per se, primarily maybe baseball, I think, mm-hmm. and maybe you're thinking some football,
yep.
right? But I think as things are evolving, we're starting to see that there are other opportunities in other arenas.
Yeah, definitely.
So what other areas do you think, and Johnny, you can chime in on this too, what other areas do you think of opportunities do you guys have in terms of Stay Seated?
Sure. I mean, it goes down to pretty much anything that's in an arena first, you know, arena or stadium, concerts, you know, the normal sporting events, as well as littler things or different things, I should say, of, you know, like a golf course, right? Someone's golfing and needs someone to track exactly where they are, order food from the clubhouse. And that allows you to have a geolocation of where that phone is and allows them to order food the same way that anybody else would and keep playing the game, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think to attest to that, we're looking at some movie theaters now. They allow you to order food before the movie starts, and they actually have a server that comes down throughout the theater and brings your food to you. So we're looking at other aspects like that. And I think that's the beautiful idea about the code that Todd is helping us create, is that, you know, we're trying to adapt to kind of every function out there, not just limit it to sporting events, because there's such a huge market for where we can take this app. And that's really the end game of what we're trying to accomplish here.
Okay, so I'm going to challenge you guys then really quick.
Uh-oh.
Because I was actually talking to a business mentor the other day about this, and they were like throwing crazy scenarios at me, and I thought it was very interesting. So what about, say, I don't know, NASCAR?
Absolutely.
How would you
100%.
How would you handle that, though? Because NASCAR is not like your traditional stadiums. You know, they mm-hmm. have like those bleacher seats, and then they have the inside and everything else.
Yeah, the inside will be a little different. The bleacher seating is no different than, say, Lambeau, though, right? There are stadiums that do that still. A lot of college stadiums, very similar way. And, you know, you put the seat number of seat 12, and really you're half in seat 12 and half in seat 13. Your name will still be on there, things like that. So when someone asks for a name along those lines, you'll be able to still get your food and still be able to deliver it at least to the similar spot and make sure that all that's right.
Now, what about logistics? Because we've actually talked about this as well. What about the logistics of resources? What if a stadium says, we don't have the resources? Are you guys going to provide the resources? How would that, what are your thoughts on that? And how would that actually work?
Well, kind of coming to figuring out more about arenas, how they work. A lot of these arenas, they contract vendors.
Yep.
And so one of our goals is to work with vendors out there and figure out, you know, how we can help them, you know, if they need to provide staff, if at some point, you know, when we do our beta testing, if we need to, you know, hire our own individuals, you know, I know we're working with, you know, like Arizona State, for say, you know, here we can go and now we can offer maybe an internship program for college students, you know, to during the ASU football games or basketball games, you know, pay them a couple bucks an hour, or maybe they can get accredited and we can do some business agreement where, you know, they can run the food and the drinks and then go from there. So there's definitely different avenues that we have to look at. And that's what we're trying to figure out, what's going to be the best route for stadiums, because each stadium is going to have a different layout. And that's, you know, the hardest part, I guess, of what we've been looking at. So.
And from a technology standpoint, maybe you can chime in on this, Diali, and Dominic, you guys can kind of share this question. From a technology standpoint, you know, we've had talks about data, and we've had talks about, you know, what happens if there is a rush. People, obviously, if you're at a game, that happens, whether it's basketball or football, you know, sure. Whether it's first quarter or halftime. How do you resolve something like that? Because obviously in a world of data and being data driven, we have to put the resources in place, but how will we be prepared to kind of handle that, and how will Stay Seated kind of combat those challenges?
Sure. So, I mean, you know, Stay Seated is an app that has a couple different factors going into it when you're talking about how technically the orders actually happen. And because of that, when we were looking at it and kind of navigating that challenge, we looked at several options. The first one is that users would be able to, for example, pre-order food. You know, maybe there's some sort of a membership base in which they can pre-order food before they ever get to the game anyway, even up to the day before. So that way the vendors, you know, can actually be prepared for the rush that's about to happen because they know exactly a pre-number of orders that they're going to make. And then on top of that, it lowers the rush that generally happens because the rush happens because of the fact that people have only ever known to go get food during in between quarters or during halftime or something like that. So when we took a look at what would happen if people had more, a wider range of access to food in a reasonable amount of time across the board, it actually nearly takes away the whole concept of a rush because now people can actually get food across the whole gamut. The other aspect of it is when you're talking about data, you know, if you have a stadium of 50, 60,000 people at any given moment, you could have several hundred orders going through at the same time. And so that really gets into data management, which is where we come in, pretty much setting up the infrastructure that's going to be needed to not only manage that data, but to also ensure that it's authentic, that it's true, that it's flowing correctly, you know, that speeds are actually up to date because you're having this large amount of data being transferred around a small area. And so as a result of that, Stay Seated is going to be on the Black Shield platform, which is split up across 5 data centers across the United States. And so because of that, even any given stadium that has an influx of orders can actually begin to use the processing power of data centers across the United States in order to process those orders. And so, you know, users are never going to experience a lag or any kind of misinformation as far as how their data is actually transferred. And then physically speaking, as far as how the vendors actually get to the people for the ones who are ordering in stadium, I had my analysis team take a look at this and for some time. And what they actually came up with was pretty much what's called a shuttle system, whereas, you know, the stadium would be split up into zones that each zone would have a set number of users that pretty much go up and down the aisles and are able to bring food to users at any given area. It's much faster than having someone, say, go from the vendor to the customer, back to the vendor to pick up another tray and back to the customer. It moves up to 5-6 times faster than that aspect goes. And so, again, still able to get a high number of orders in a reasonable amount of time while letting the person stay in their seat.
So how about that, Dominic, from a branding standpoint? Where do you see kind of – because obviously – How does a person who's seated tell who's delivering their order? And I know you've talked about, you know, the vendors and everything else. Does Stay Seated have any plans to do any like branding or anything like that? So that'll signify anything to the customer?
Branding as in the person delivering the food with like our name and such on there. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be a part of it. We're going to try to connect with the stadiums that we are in and run ads on their Jumbotron, let everybody in the stadium know. There'll be referral-based incentives for anybody that does use the app, similar to how Uber or Lyft really did get started. All of those kind of collaborate into one branding motion that we're doing in stadium.
Okay.
Outside of the stadium, there's stuff on Facebook as well as Google Ads and those kind of things that drive people to our website, let them know a little bit about us while we're still creating what we're trying to make.
So do you think that from stadium to stadium, it'll be the same type of infrastructure and operations? Or do you think that it'll change based upon levels and time frame?
From what we've seen, every stadium will be its own beast. They're all different. None of them are really the same. They've all got different ways that their food's, you know, aligned in the stadium. They've all got different ways that people can move about the stadium. It will be a very much each one is different kind of approach.
Okay. And in terms of, say, like your marketing strategy, if you're speaking to a vendor right now or a potential stadium, what makes Stay Seated stand out or jump out versus the other potential competitors that are out there or other stadiums that may have in-house teams developing in-house apps or something like that?
Sure. There's a couple things that I would say. One of them is partnering with Dioli and being able to have protection and security on your side. Having those servers that he's got access to will really change the way that some of these people will view the security aspect behind it. Nobody wants a data breach. We've got some of the top line stuff to really fight against all of that. As far as, you know, the food that you can get, you know, it's obviously going to be the exact same as if you got up and, you know, got your own stuff. But the very pro is obviously the fact that you get to actually enjoy the game itself, the concert itself, or whether it is just the halftime show that you want to watch that most people will have to miss. The other aspect, though, really, as well, if you're talking about somebody else that's doing something similar besides the security aspect, would have to probably be ease of use. Our app is so far very, very simple to use, allows you to really smoothly go from one page to another, allows you to really understand exactly every aspect of it, and those kind of things, so that you can use it from, you know, the age of, you know, 13 to all the way up to the age of 80. Anyone who's got a smartphone can do it.
And I think that's a really important thing also, you know, being that the ease of use aspect, because, you know, it's often very difficult, we find, to make something that is highly secure, but at the same time, highly user friendly. And in the industry, that's generally seen as an oxymoron. You either have high security or you have high usability. And we've really been able to find kind of the sweet spot between within Stay Seated about how can we put in the maximum amount of security to protect users while still keeping that ease of use and usability that Dominic is talking about. And this time around, we've been able to do that, I think, quite well.
All right. That's a great, great answer. But now I'm going to flip the script on you guys and throw a little bomb out there and see how it goes. I have an 80-20 rule when it comes to what you expect to accomplish versus what you understand you may accomplish. Now, obviously, the app's getting ready to launch, and obviously, there's been an entire journey for this. And so, to me, the 80% is what you already know or what you were familiar with. The 20% is what you didn't know. So, this question is for Johnny and for Dominic. What, in your determination, was the 80% that you knew or you were aware of when it comes to getting an app and getting an app into market? And what was the 20% that maybe you weren't familiar with?
I'll go ahead right off the bat. I'm not really a technology guy. And so I think that's where Dom came in and really shined. I didn't realize how much development was actually needed to produce this app. And that's one thing I can allude to is, you know, the countless since basically when we started this venture in early May. I mean, you guys know, Todd, you've been on the calls. We have calls every night, you know, for an hour at a time, figure out the coding, the best way to go about the app. And to me, that is where I find it was just incredible, like how much work you guys have to do just on the back end of the app to make it look so good on the front end, which, you know, then you can do the simple tweaking of the color scheme, the font, you know, where you want to put things in location wise. So to me, that was pretty unique to see. Just the base off of the coding and how much you have to actually develop to make it run flawlessly, which is what we're trying to accomplish. So I think, Dom, you could probably pretty agree to that yourself.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, and Todd said earlier, you know, I've got a little bit more of a technology background, but I've still definitely learned a lot from this venture. This is app number 2 for myself. And just going through the struggles of each one, seeing the growth from, you know, conception to being able to play with it in your phone and being able to now be able to say that we have a launch date set. It's all pretty incredible. You know, I've definitely learned a lot more. I'm more of a front end kind of developer. So I've learned a lot more about the back end, databasing, APIs, you know, payment processing, all of those kind of things, as opposed to, you know, front end kind of development work. So it's been a great experience so far and looking forward to more.
And I know with the 80%, I know that we have an awesome product. And that's thanks to you, Todd, and Dee, and the team that you guys have developed it on. So I know that we'll be able to sell this product, market this product, get it into consumers' hands, and make sure that they get a first-class experience with Stay Seated. And I want to stand behind that. So,
well, thanks to the demand, because obviously it's a needed item that's in the industry. And people are trying it or have tried it. And I find it very interesting that Dominic even came up with the idea, because there have been apps out in the market. One that stands out to me is the one that the 49ers use. They actually were using it. They tested it for Super Bowl 50, and then they kind of went and they turned it down, per se, in terms of they're only using it in a certain part of the stadium. So in terms of, and I know I've asked this question a couple of different ways, but this is probably the most important thing for listeners, as well as anyone that's considering, you know, partnering with you or discussing, like, for vendors per se, or even sponsors. What do you think in terms of visibility? obviously beyond the order process, there's a visibility factor that will be in the app for sponsors and vendors. What do you think is important in terms of visibility if I am a potential sponsor or a vendor that want to have a relationship with Stay Seated?
The biggest thing, obviously, is numbers, right? How many people use it? So, you know, you think of like a where they would spend their money, either a billboard or a commercial or any kind of thing like that. It's all based on numbers. So it's very similar to us, how many users use it. The only difference here is instead of it being on a billboard that's stuck in one spot, ours is in your phone, which everyone has.
Right. Right in the palm of your hand.
It gives a lot of access to a lot of different people that they wouldn't be able to reach by just putting it in one spot, any of those kind of things.
Yeah, I mean, I have great relationships with some of the largest Fortune 500 companies, especially around technology here in the Valley and around the world. And I've brought this app up to them also as far as their interest in sponsoring it. And obviously, at this time, I can't say what those companies are, but all of them have.
Do tell.
I can't legally say until we actually close a deal. But, you know, at this point, all of them are very highly interested for that sole reason, you know, being that most of these companies are already in stadiums. They already have banners. They already have billboards. But, you know, they recognize the value of being able to be right in front of the user and literally in their hand. And so the value statement for that is really just unbeatable. I mean, you know, you really can't get closer than that pretty much. And so there is a lot of interest on my end as far as the companies that I've partnered with that would like to be interested in sponsoring Stay Seated also.
Well, now we're going to switch gears on that because you guys are.
I don't know if Johnny knew that, actually. Johnny, did you know that?
Oh, yeah, I knew that. I didn't know globally, man. That's you surprise me every day.
I'm full of them.
Well, I believe that Stay Seated from a global standpoint has the potential to go global in the sense of the foundation and the resources and what you guys want to do. So that brings me to an interesting point and a question that I want to ask. And now I'm going to switch gears and kind of ask this question of Dominic and say Terry here because of Terry's involvement in the event industry. So from an entertainment standpoint, because I think the main thing that a lot of apps get wrong, especially those that are involved in like entertainment and stuff like that, I noticed that, you know, in our discussions, we've talked about Stay Seated and not just helping being a resource to the stadium, but being a resource to entertainment districts and communities that usually surround stadiums. So in terms of that, how is Stay Seated prepared? And I know Dominic will be able to answer this a little bit quicker, but I want you to answer this from an entertainment standpoint. How is Stay Seated prepared to separate itself in terms of being more of a community first app for local businesses that thrive all off of stadiums? Because we all know, like somebody goes to a stadium, you know, they order their food. Okay, they had the great experience. They ordered in the app. They love it, right? But now the next experience is the experience after. It's the seventh inning stretch, or it's, you know, they left the game a little bit early and they go to that entertainment district or community, or they go to those local pubs or restaurants that are in proximity to every stadium that's in the U.S. or even global per se. How is Stay Seated prepared to handle that? And what are some of the options that people would have in still engaging and interacting with the app?
Sure. So, I mean, first of all, once the stadium or once the game gets or concert or whatever the event is, whenever it gets close to nearing the end, there will start being push notifications of local areas around there. Give people an idea of what they could be, you know, going to see. Give a little description, you know, those kind of things. Try to lead a little bit of our stadium people into those entertainment districts that these places are building around them and those kind of things. We're looking to try to partner with any kind of ride sharing app, anything along those lines, get a promo code in there, try to ensure safe driving, all of those kind of things to really help people after the game still enjoy their time and be home safe and all those kind of things.
And Terry, from an entertainment standpoint or from your experience, how do you think an application like Stay Seated impacts someone who kind of frequents those entertainment districts?
Well, I think with this app, it becomes a full engagement. So from start to finish, you're engaged with the activity you're doing. And the app is just a platform to help push the other businesses so everybody is progressing and making and having a successful business. So if during the event, you're seeing ads about an event that's about to go on afterwards, you get that push notification, you already in your head have a plan of where you're going to go. So it's making it easier for the consumer to make a decision.
Now I'm going to throw this one at Johnny because you know, I can't keep Johnny too quiet for too long. Now, from a team perspective, because obviously, Stay Seated, even though it's meant for the fan experience, which I know is the primary, you know, engine driving thing here, from a team experience and from kind of like your sales background, what would be kind of the team experience for Stay Seated or maybe the opportunity for a team to interact with Stay Seated?
Yeah, so this is where it gets kind of cool. With how we're developing the app, you know, one thing we want to make sure is that not only are we taking care of the people spectating the event, but, you know, we want to take care of the people that are hosting the event. You know, so what we're going to do is we're going to allow the teams to advertise, you know, their pro shop in our app. Now, we're not sure yet if we're going to have them, you know, okay, I want a Giannis jersey, you know, sent down to my seat, but we'll at least send the link so you can go look at the Giannis jersey. And by the way, Giannis plays for the Bucks. I hope everyone knows that he's a champ, MVP. But we want to make it available so that people are able to, you know, people are able to get that Giannis jersey, you know, look at the pro shop. So the team knows that we're showing them love, saying, hey, look, you know, you're helping us out. We're going to help you out. We want to give as much reach as we possibly can. So there's links that we can do in our app. We also can allow upcoming events, you know, so what we might be able to do is partner with like a Ticket King and say, hey, how was your experience at this last Bucks game? Well, I'll tell you what, they play again on the 7th or whatever the date may be. And boom, you know, you can order tickets through either the Bucks or Ticket King to really help drive those sales for the teams as well. So we're trying to make it a essentially one-stop shop, which would be nice.
Well, that's actually great information. And it makes me think because as a person who's seen a lot of apps matriculate or a lot of apps grow and some, you know, fall off, because obviously there's so many apps that are in the app store, we're just being honest. I like the description of how you can be a one-stop shop, cover the fan experience, think about outside entertainment, cover the team experience, because ultimately, you know, an application is, to me, a monetization tool and a resource for people to engage in a certain community. So, you know, from a community perspective, what do you think or what do you think some of your goals are in terms of engaging and reaching the community? And either one of you guys can answer that if you something comes to mind. Dominic, Johnny.
Well, I mean, I think we basically kind of covered that, like as you touched base with the community. So, you know, in the area that I live in, Milwaukee, the new Pfizer Forum, which is a beautiful building, there's a lot of surrounding bars and restaurants there. So what we want to do is just bring everyone together, you know, because that's the goal of the city is to drive that experience. And so I think our end plan is, and I know we've kind of talked about this, and is just to make it be so that, hey, after the game, come here. We partner with the Bucks. We're with Stay Seated. This is where we want to be. This is where you want to grab your nightcap or your, you know, your meal after the game. So I think just to kind of create it as a whole, you know, the sports community is such a huge platform. So trying to tackle it all would be awesome, but I think it's going to be baby steps to do that. But I think we'll reach it.
Well, just from what I've heard and what you guys have been explaining, you know, it started off as, you know, a food service. That's really what your idea was. And now it's turned into engagement for the community. You get to get merchandise at your favorite branded entertainment. It's going to provide you with the food so you don't have to leave or miss a second of this entertainment. And then after the event, it's providing you with where the most popular events are going to be. So it's basically directing you to having a great time. It's no longer just about food, but it's about the fan experience through the game, before the game, during the game, and after the game. And that's what I really like about this.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's a tool that'll hopefully allow you to spend more time with your family, friends, and again, and just create that strong community, which is what we all look for. So,
okay. So I've gotten some questions from some friends in terms of unique sporting venues that Stay Seated might consider. So I'll just roll down the list one by one, and you guys can answer yay or nay.
I hope none of those sporting venues are sponsored by Michael Vick. Just saying.
Oh. No comment on that one.
Case closed. Turn his mic off.
Might have to silence him.
Case closed.
What about WWE arenas?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. 100%. I mean, I think WWE, I mean, they have a huge following. The UFC, you know, they've got a big following. I mean, you imagine you're sitting there watching, you know, Conor McGregor up there doing his thing, and hey, I need a whiskey Coke. Boom, bring it down, the ring girls. You know, I mean, it's very possible that could happen. I mean, By the way,
Johnny, I know a former UFC fighter, and I also know someone who manages a lot of the UFC fighters.
Well, I'm going to pick your brain on that after this.
Nice to know. Thank you for that. But that wasn't part of the answer to the question. Thank you. Maybe we need to turn your mic
absolutely,
off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, that's definitely a possibility for us.
Okay. What about professional volleyball?
I don't see why not. Absolutely. It just kind of depends mostly on...
Is that the beach?
It depends mostly on like how we can accompany them, right? Like that one specifically might be you have to pick it up from the tent that's just off to the side, you know? So instead of you waiting in line for the 15 minutes and walking all the way down to the beach and, you know, any of those kind of things, instead you take a 1 minute walk that's just down the, you know, the side there and just pick up the food you've already paid for, you've already gotten, you've already, you know, all those kind of things.
And granted, with the permission of the end consumer, geotag is generally pretty accurate. And so even if we're in an environment where there's not necessarily set seat numbers and location on those seats, we can still get pretty accurate within geotag and then mix that with pretty much what Uber and Lyft does. Whereas if there's a lot of Uber or Lyft cars coming up into one location, what they've done now is they've color-coded it. So the light on the Uber will light up the same color as the one on your phone so you can find your car. Pretty much. And so we could even do something like that. And that's, again, something else that when my team was building this out as far as the security aspect of things, we thought about how we could go about, again, making the user interface easy while still implementing all the security aspects of what's needed to be done.
Yeah. Okay. Here comes one. What about ski lodges?
Well...
Hey, I'm just asking the question.
I don't know what that looks like. What
I mean, I think that a ski lodge, people will be able to ski down to base camp, and I don't know if they'll be able to ski with a drink in their hand or a hot dog. But I mean, if there's a will, there's a way. We'll try to figure it out. So we'll put that on pause.
The question was brought to me because of Olympics.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like the apex of this app would be the Olympics. I feel like that would be the total
big sporting event, sure, but you're...
It changes a little when there is an event. There is someone that's buying a ticket. Sure, it might be general admission, things like that. But that's when it kind of changes rather than, I think both of us kind of thought of it quick, of just someone skiing down the hill and somebody skiing next to them with a drink. And here you go, passing it off, you know.
That's the premium version.
Yeah, exactly. It's definitely something that we can look into based on anything that really has a ticket and figuring out a way to help them, you know, get what they need.
VIP as they ski next to you, hold your drink and then feed it to you.
Absolutely.
What about a gymnastics event?
Yeah, I mean, similar thing, gymnastics and Olympics, things like that. Like all of those have seats. If you're talking something smaller, you know, kind of realm of, I don't know, like personally, the only ones I've seen, I've either seen it on the Olympics or I've seen it like in high school. So in high school, probably not, you know, it's a little smaller event. That's kind of not the avenue I think that we'll be able to kind of tackle. But I mean, the Olympics, anything along those lines of bigger gymnastics, I mean, even like in larger colleges, that's an avenue we might be able to go down. But like I said earlier, it's kind of every beast is different. If the college wants us to do it there, they feel like there's enough people, there's enough reason to do it, then absolutely.
Okay. So now, what would be like your top, I don't know, two arenas that you would really want to be in? And what would be the bottom two?
Interesting.
Well, it's hard not to have hometown bias. I mean, I would love more than anything. I mean, I'm going to have to include three because I love the Packers, Brewers, and the Bucks. So my top three would be obviously Wisconsin based. I mean, it would be such a cool experience to be attending these sporting events. And I look over to me and there's a family of five and the dad pulls out his phone and his kids are sitting there ordering through his phone. So he instead does not have to drag them, you know, to the concession stands, miss a third quarter of the game. And you know, and call it at that. So I think my top three would have to be Wisconsin sports, Wisconsin Stadium. So Miller Park, Lambeau Field, and the new Pfizer Forum.
Okay. What about your bottom ones? The ones you would probably just say, you know, maybe that one could wait.
Well, I don't know if I want to put that on air yet, but
Johnny, PR.
Yeah, you can say no comment.
Oh, bottom. Well, I probably would have to be Soldier Field, you know.
Again, bias. That's all it is. Todd's just trying to poke bears over here.
Yeah, definitely. That would be last on the list for sure.
You know, Johnny, we have PR services too, if you want to talk about that.
Well, you know, like you said, every stadium is this different beast. So there's going to be ones that's going to be harder barrier entries, right?
Absolutely.
So it's not that we want to turn away a stadium, but we have to really think it out. We did a tour, right? Mm-hmm. And we did a tour of different stadiums, and we noticed that there are some, you know, I'm just thinking that maybe some basketball arenas might be a little bit more difficult because mm-hmm. they're very close in proximity. The logistics of the vendors are not necessarily favorable for delivery. The aisles are super compact to try to get down. So it's not to say we'll say no to any particular stadium. It's just to say which ones might be a little bit more challenging. So what about you, Dominic? Obviously, you can be biased too. So that's not.
No. Johnny already knows where my biasm is there. I don't know. It can be, right? I would definitely say that staying in Phoenix would be, you know, my number one. They've got all four major sports. Five coming, you know, with soccer coming up with the Rising. Really, any of them be the first one to be incredible. Allow us to go from one to the other and start. Because like you said, you know, basketball is a little different than football and football is a little different than baseball.
Sure.
And so they all kind of change. So getting a good mix of it all would be great. This is definitely where I would prefer to start. And I really don't have a preference on which of the top two would start, honestly. For the bottom, man, I'd probably say somewhere that was a non-domed cold area. I'm kind of used to the Phoenix market now, you know? I don't want to be going somewhere cold.
Sounds like Green Bay.
Yeah, you know, especially stadium seats that are all metal. I don't want to be sitting on that. Anything that comes to mind, you know, that's up to whoever. But yeah, anything in the cold would be not on the top of my list, but I definitely would help them out if they needed it.
Okay. Yeah, and I agree with Dom. I think at this point, you know, any stadium that's willing to give us an opportunity to showcase our product would just be huge, and we'd be grateful at that.
Okay. So what about maybe a future stadium or a stadium that's underbuilt? Do you think that would probably be more advantageous for you because then maybe you could be a part of that process versus a current stadium?
I think the newer the stadium, the better, honestly. It would allow us to, especially unbuilt, just because we'd be able to integrate very easily with them. We'd be able to run tests beforehand. It's a little easier to run those things with no one in the stadium as opposed to let's run it and then we have to change things and now let's get ready for the weekend that there's going to be a game, you know, any of those kind of events. So something that has a little bit of time to make sure we get all the bugs out would be great. With that being said, though, again, you know, any of the stadiums are good for us, but I think the newer, the easier it is to integrate into and get all the bugs out.
A popular question that I've gotten from people I've talked to about this is branding is super important, and everybody has a brand nowadays. So from a branding standpoint, what are some of the options? And even though I know the answer, I'm basically kind of quizzing you to see if you know the answer. What are some of the options that teams may have if they want to make sure it's either their branded app per se or say it represents their colors?
So absolutely. It's definitely a big part of what's going on now. And our app will allow these stadiums to have that color coordination of whatever they'd like. We have kind of the free range to almost do whatever we want, really. We can put logos where they need to be of whatever they choose to be. We can change colors that they want them to be when someone clicks on, for example, the Cardinals or, you know, any other team. Whatever colors they want to be shown, they can have it that way. And that's what's nice about us is we do have that customization of somebody allowing them to the stadium itself choosing kind of how it should look when someone's using it in their stadium.
Okay. All right. And I know that you brought up soccer before too, because I know that's an emerging thing. So here's a little bit of a twist. Obviously, we know you'll go into any stadium, so you know we're there already. Let's just say, for the sake of argument or challenge, a stadium, say, in Brazil or a stadium in Spain wants you to put Stay Seated there. Now, there's an easy answer, and then there's a challenging answer. Do you build Stay Seated in the Spanish version, or do you keep it Stay Seated and just try to make it convert?
It's a good question. In all honesty, just because sometimes when you translate stuff, it doesn't always translate the way it's supposed to be. Personally, I would prefer it to be built in their language, make sure that everything's correct in that form, those kind of things. But at the same time, if they told us that we needed it to be done in a week, we obviously know we can't build an app in a week. You know, it's a little bit of a stretch. So if they'd be okay with allowing us to just use the translated version with that on the way, we can do that as well.
And from a currency standpoint, and you could probably answer this too, Diali, is there any challenges as far as currency exchanges or, say, payment gateways?
So payment-wise, absolutely. So that's absolutely going to be a big thing on our end. If we were looking at that situation, which I expect we will be looking at that situation, we'd probably be looking at setting up completely different infrastructure for that international aspect of things. And you know, stadiums are far and wide between as far as their variations and sizes and languages and all that other stuff. So, yes, there would absolutely be a difference as far as the currency goes. You know, that's going to be, I feel like, probably more of an accounting question, you know, as far as what actually happens when the money comes in and how it's processed and so forth. But from my knowledge, it's not that it's hard. It's just that it just has to be done correctly and how it's done. So, but for example, I mean, if you have a stadium in Brazil and you have one in Spain and you have one in Europe and you have one in Australia, that's, you know, four or five different currencies right there. And so, you know, I think that's just going to come down to looking at the company's revenue base and how all of that translates over. But I mean, from a security standpoint, we would just be building out different infrastructure, in that area, which two out of those three places we already have infrastructure in anyway for other uses. So we'd just be building on top of that for this app to be able to run in that area securely and to therefore be able to isolate it.
Okay. Good answer. You sound pretty professional there.
You have no idea how much we've thought about this.
Might want to hire PR services. I want to consider that.
You have no idea how much we've... Well, you know, there's a couple companies this morning that might need our PR services in light of some major hacks that happened last night. So,
oh, well. Watch your wallet. Watch it.
Well, it's just nice to know that Dom and I are in such good hands. Thank you, D.
Absolutely.
So before we end today, I wanted to make sure that we talk about a few more things. One of the things I wanted to touch on is... Who is outside of the fan? Obviously, the fan is number one in terms of the reaction and engagement and stuff. And obviously, we want to have a relationship with teams. Who's the best resource for Stay Seated in terms of helping to get the word out? And no, you can't say I'm marketing, and you can't say these technology. It has to. We want to make sure that Stay Seated is connected with anyone and everyone that understands the mission. So who do you think would be a good resource or a good connection to connect you with?
Well, you know, similar to like how Uber or Lyft or any of those kind of, you know, newer apps that are kind of innovative, kind of broke the market. It's a lot of stuff online. You know, there's no point in sending mail so that somebody has to now type in something. It's much easier for them to just read on Facebook or on Google Ad or anything and click it, goes right to our app, lets some kind of know exactly what we're doing, any of those kind of things. And again, the person to person, allowing somebody to, you know, just scan a code, share an email, any of those kind of prospects to find new people in similar ways to what other companies that are, you know, in an app kind of market do. You know, it's just a little different than your typical marketing scheme, I would say, but still very much so a marketing scheme.
Okay. Any thoughts, Johnny?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of hard. You took away some of the biggest players that we want to market to.
Well, you could say like marketing managers of teams, or, you know, there's a lot of
sources. I mean, of course, we want to hit up the C-suites, you know, corporate guys.
Sure.
Companies that partner with the arenas themselves, you know, go to their marketing. Like State Farm, correct, is the Phoenix Suns sponsor, right?
Yep.
You know, so going to their C-suite and saying, hey, look, you guys, we've got this going on. This will help drive our app. You know, do you want some marketing space on here? You know, I'm sure a lot of the people that attend this game have State Farm. They'll see that, recognize it. Boom. Then they stay seated on top of that. So, I mean, there's a lot of different avenues to go about it. But I think one of the biggest tools right now off the bat is going to be a strong social media push. And it's such a powerful tool, and we're going to use it all the way. So.
Random question that I got in from a friend. Will Stacey to ever do a charity golf tournament?
I would absolutely love that. And I want to say yes. I think that we might be able to do a golf tournament like the Tiger and Phil match and make it more interesting.
I want to hear that one. How do you make that more interesting?
I'm just messing.
If you bring Tiger and Phil, that makes it more interesting, I think.
we would love to do a charity golf event. That would be so much fun to do and put on. Sure. And obviously Phoenix, since we're launching in Phoenix, you guys have such a strong golf community. I think I could see us doing a charity event there in the near future.
Okay. All right. Well, we're almost coming down and winding down. So I want to make sure that I honor and make sure that we announce the Stacey launch party that's happening next week, Saturday, December 8th at the Embassy Suites. For those that are listening, it is not necessarily going to be open to the complete public, although there will be an after party for the celebration of Stacey.
Which embassy?
Embassy Suites Scottsdale.
Okay. Because there are like 20 of them in Phoenix.
Yeah, of course. So essentially, anyone who's listening now who may have an interest to come to the actual event, and if you are someone that Stacey is looking for, we want to make sure that you guys reach out to us. So they'll be able to reach out to us on the website as of this afternoon. You want to go to stacedinc.net, and you'll be able to look for the RSVP to RSVP for that. But it will be a closed event, so there's only certain people that we will allow to be able to attend the event. But moving forward, make sure that you come and join the Stacey community. You can find us online. You'll find us on Facebook, Instagram, all over. We're open to people listening and engaging with us as to how to make the app the best app ever, better than any other app, sports app that's ever been created. So we're constantly evolving in regards to that. So we will be launching a Stay Seated Facebook community a little bit later on that will allow you to engage with the app and kind of give us feedback. But in general, if you're a sports fan and you wanted to love or fall in love with the fan experience, make sure you connect with Stay Seated. That's what I would say. But from my standpoint, because I'm biased, and this show is about being a resource. Essentially, what I want to say is that Stay Seated is not just an app, it's an experience. And the most important thing about an experience is what fans experience when they're engaging with the app. Obviously, it's to get food and beverage. Obviously, it's to get stay in their seat. But beyond that, you know, like Johnny said earlier, we want that family, that parent, those experiences that friends have together when they go to a stadium or an arena. We want it to be a celebration of a service that's dedicated to them. So we're always willing to listen to opportunities to change, evolve, and elevate in that regards. And I know I'm kind of being a fanboy right now because, you know, I absolutely love the concept. I've loved the concept from day one. I mean, obviously, Dominic is the smartest person in this room because he thought it up.
Oh, man.
But obviously somebody smart over there thinks he's smarter, but we're not going to talk about that. But essentially, before we go, I wanted to give everyone a few last words to kind of say how people can find you if you want to be found, and where to connect with you. So Dominic, you can actually start.
Yeah. So like Todd said, stayseatedinc.net. It's our website, our email. If you want to just directly send it to Johnny and myself, we share one at info@stayseatedinc.net. And then we each have our own. Mine is dsaragaglia@stayseatedinc.net. The last name is SaraGagLia. That's the best way to connect with us.
What about your email? Your Stacey email?
The info one?
Yeah.
I already said that.
No, not info. Is that the only one?
Info and then dsaragaglia. At stayseatedinc.net. So there's the two of them.
Saragalia. What is that?
Just spelt it. It's Italian. So those are the best two ways to reach out to myself.
He goes, I just spelt it.
Yeah. Oh, so Dom, he shared our emails, and I just want to give a big thank you out to Business Radio X for having us on the station today. It's such an awesome experience. This has been my first time on a live show. So thank you very much, Todd. Thank you for setting it all up. You're the man. Keep doing good work. And again, to all you listeners out there and fans of sports, we are building this app for you guys. We hope when we launch that you download it, give it a go, and soon we'll have it to a stadium near you. And again, this is for the experience. We want you guys to have a great time. Enjoy with your family. Enjoy with your friends. You know, we want to keep you guys coming back to go see your favorite sports teams play. So thank you very much.
Well, Dioli Alexander, you can find me on LinkedIn. That's the best place. Dioly, last name Alexander. My website is actually being revamped right now. The old one is blackshield.technology, but I believe the new one, Todd, you know this, is what now?
BlackShieldCybersecurity.com.
There you go. BlackShieldCybersecurity.com, which I'd like to point out that I was against it for it being so long, but oh well. So our new website is going to be launching here over the course of the next 30 days, but you can also go to our old website, which is BlackShield.technology, and subscribe to our newsletter where we are constantly putting out new security alerts and features that our company is up to, as well as some of the research and development that we are working on across multiple different industries to help innovate cybersecurity and user interfaces. Thank you.
And Tara?
And if you ever want to get in contact with me, the best way until our website is completed is to contact me through Instagram. My Instagram account is Terry Cargile, TerryCargile, or the company Instagram account, Scout Team ENT, SCOUTTEAMENT.
And as far as I'm concerned, you will find me on this show every other week, because this is a resource. But other than that, you can search me anywhere online. I'm Todd Social. You'll find a very nice headshot or a very bad one. I don't know which one is out there currently right now.
It's pretty bad.
Oh, shut up. Anyway, the show is a resource. And the whole premise of the resource is to show how we take things, we take ideas, and we guide people to become a better community, a better opportunity for people to engage with, and to take people to the next level in their business. We will be here every other week, and we will have special guests all the time. More importantly, if you are a business and you are looking to evolve and resolve maybe some of the challenges and turn those into opportunities in your business, feel free to contact me, and perhaps maybe one day we'll have you on the show. Take care.